We're going to continue with our examination of one of the most common tefillot that many of us know off by heart and know how to sing. The kids are taught how to sing this, and we're talking about Adon Olam. So just remind everybody about a couple of points. The first word we were examining is actually the first word, Adon, which literally means master. But we indicated that it's actually connected to the name of Hashem, the Yud, the K, the Vav K name of Hashem, which we never pronounce phonetically. But Chazal told us that the proper pronunciation that we associate with that name, and I'll repeat it for the purposes of learning, is Adonai, from which the word Adon, of course, is the root, master. But let's take a look a little bit deeper at this very interesting tefillah. Who wrote it is not entirely clear. As the Art Scroll note says, some say it was written by Rabbi Shlomo Ibn Gabiro, one of the great Paitanim who lived in the 11th century. But his greatness sometimes plays out in ways that I just think we don't pay enough attention to. I love Hebrew. I love the language, and I love the cleverness of it, the depth of it. And I just want to sort of try to pull back a little bit about the curtain of the cleverness of Adon Olam. Now, if you just take a look at it, Adon Olam Asher Malach, what's the word Olam mean? Most of us would say, well, Adon Olam means the master of the universe, as the Art Scroll actually translates it. I contend that that's not the best translation. I actually believe that Paltiel or Philip Birenbaum got it more right, because in terms of explaining the word Olam, in the biblical sense, the word Olam as it appears in Tanakh never means world. It always means eternal. And I think it's a far better translation, and this is how Birenbaum translates it in his Siddur. He doesn't say master of the universe, but he rather says the eternal master who reigned. And I think that's the right explanation. I'll tell you why. Because Ibn Gabirol, if he was in fact the author, very cleverly is shifting our attention through a very subtle change of tenses throughout Adon Olam, which highlight the notion of past, present, and future, which is in fact a little bit more of a cumbersome way of saying eternal. So just take a look at me, and if you don't have to take your Siddur out if you don't want to, but you all know this off by heart. Adon Olam Asher Malach, what does Malach mean? Who reigned. That is past tense. B'terem kol yetzir nivra, la'et na'asa b'cheftzo kol, at the time when his will be brought into being, azai melech, shemo nikra. And I'm going to suggest melech is the present tense. But then let's go to the next line. V'acharei kichlot hakol levado yimloch nora. Now that already is the future tense. So within two lines, practically, Ibn Gabirol is telling us, is playing a little bit on the notion of past, malach, melech, present, and future, yimloch. But he does it even more cleverly than that. We mentioned, of course, that the word Adon may in fact be a direct reference to one of the names of God, the Yud, the K, the Vav, and the K. So it shouldn't surprise us that the next line in Adon Olam is Whitland. Listen to the words. And for those of you who are familiar with Hebrew, think about how the words are actually spelt. V'hu haya, v'hu hoveh, v'hu yihyeh b'tifarah. Haya is past tense. Hoveh is hoveh, present tense. Yihyeh is future tense. But the words themselves are made up of what letters? Yud, K, Vav, K. He's essentially spelling out, as it were, for us the name of God. And he's teaching us what idea? That God is eternal. He's Adon Olam. There's no such thing as a past. There's no such thing as a present. There's no such thing as future, because God, in fact, is above time. He is totally, completely eternal. This is why I think that Paltiel Birenbaum really did get it right, that is a superior translation. But there's something very clever here going on, even beyond that. If you take a look at the verbs used throughout this tefillah, I think you can see a very clever use of the words, of verbs. And I suggest the following. When you take a look at it, nivra, I think, is past tense. Nikra is also past tense. And as we go through the list, we're going to see something very interesting. V'hu echad v'ein sheni. What is v'hu echad v'ein sheni? Look at it in the English. He is one. Is present. We have now here in Adon Olam a series of sentences which are in the present tense. It begins with this notion of past, and then it goes to a series of descriptions of God, but one which I believe are all present. Hu echad, he is one. B'li reshit, b'li tachlit, v'lo ha'oz. To him, presently, is the boldness, the greatness, the majesty. Hu keli, he is my God, presently. And I think in this case, even the art school uses the present tense. V'chai goli, v'tsur chevli, he is my redeemer, my rock, and my pain and dime of distress. But then listen to what happens. V'hu nisi umanosli, he is my refuge. Menat kosi biyom ekra. And ekra already is future tense. And now listen to the next words. Biyado afkid ruchi. Future. In his hands I'm going to entrust my soul. Be'et ishan. When I shall lie down. Ve'aira. When I will get up. Ve'im ruchi geviati. Which basically means, with my spirit shall my body remain. Hashem li, Hashem is with me, velo ira, and I shall not fear. So I think even Gabriel here is playing on this whole notion of past tense, of present tense, and the future tense, and in a beautiful, concise, 10-line poem is presenting one of the most basic philosophic or even theological premises of all Jewish belief, the eternity of God. We believe in a God that is past, present, and future. And that's why we have faith, because there will never be a time where our God will not be there for us. He was for our forefathers, he is for us right now, and he will be for us in the future when, God forbid, we call out and we say, Hashem, we need your help. Hashem li velo ira.